John the Baptist is an interesting figure in the Gospels. His treatment from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we call the Synoptic Gospels, and the Gospel of John are radically, if not totally, different. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we know that he is the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah, a well-established priest, when he is visited by an angel, and so John is a child forerun by an angel, who then is the one who leapt in Elizabeth's womb as he encountered Jesus in Mary's womb, and who then, at the River Jordan, baptized our Savior. He was humble enough to say, I shouldn't be baptizing you, but you should be baptizing me. But still, Jesus said, no, to fulfill all righteousness, do this. And so he did. Then, in those synoptic gospels, he shows up a couple of more times, most prominently at the end of his life. He'd spoken out against Herod and Herodias, their marriage and the adultery by law that was embodied there, and for that, been arrested. And while arrested, he began to get desperate, forlorn, worried that indeed his life might end there. And so he very famously sent his disciples to say, "Are you the one? Are you the one, Jesus, for whom we have been waiting?" And Jesus, as we'll see again in a minute, said to them, "Well, tell him what you see, what you hear, what you know to be true of the world in and around me." Moments later, at the whim of the state and in one of the most gruesome moments of the New Testament, he was beheaded. Beheaded as a plaything for Herod and Herodias and a daughter. Beheaded to keep people happy at a feast. But that's not John in this gospel. In the Gospel of John, he has a role of testifying, of witnessing, of pointing to Christ. You've seen this image already a half dozen times in my time here with you. I can't get it out of my head when I think about John the Baptist. This is him pointing to the crucified Christ. And that is the image from right here in this gospel. It starts in John 1, 6 and 7 and 8. There was a man, clarify, there was a man sent from God who came as a witness to testify concerning. Clarity, this guy wasn't the light. He was a witness to the light. And so right at the very beginning, in the poem that starts the Gospel of John, this early Christian community says, this one, who we know so much about, his role, what he was up to, was again and again pointing to Jesus, witnessing, testifying. Yeah, the structure of his hand and that is kind of a fun, I think, of the artist's little bend of his finger. This is important because by the end of verse of chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is gone. When we read scripture, we read it first for the people who were experiencing it. Jesus, John the Baptist, Peter, those who walked through it. We have to then also remember that there was a community in which it was written and for whom it was intended. And in this particular case, it's very likely that this John testifying is about putting Jesus first and foremost when there are people who want to elevate John the Baptist. And so the author said, we need to make sure that John does his part, but doesn't get in the way of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so it continues. What's his role? To prepare the way of the Lord. To be that forerunner who makes possible the movement of God's people through this crazy world. If you remember where that came from, this is from the time of exile when the people were coming back to Israel, and they knew if they went along the main road, they'd be killed. They also knew that if they went through the desert, they'd die. And so while it was nice that the emperor said they could go back, there was no way. And God said, I'm going to make a way, a highway that'll bloom in the middle of the desert with life, with hope, with everything you need for that journey. And so John is the one who came to make a way that blooms with life and with hope, makes possible a journey for each and every one with Jesus. And then by chapter 3, like I said, here it is. My joy now is complete. I'm done. I've finished. I've said what I need to say. You have and understand Jesus. And so he must increase, and I must decrease. This notion that no way can we put ourselves in the way of Jesus, but instead, continually and consistently, persistently and courageously, point to Jesus again and again and again, raising him up. And then there's our text. This is where we get some little nuances, and I want to get into that third way that we read Scripture in making understanding and sense of today. In our gospel text, the very first thing that John said about Jesus is, there is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Not of particular people, not of those who behave in a particular way, but in the big, messy world. And what is it to be a Lamb of God except to be a Passover Lamb of God? One who is given so that others might walk free from a place where they had no hope. Then, again, that one who came, who's going to surpass me, he was before me. This is the God who is the master of the universe, creator of all that was and is and ever will be. Who am I to stand here and do anything except for say, look at this one? And then finally, at the end of our text, one last confirmation. I have seen, and this is a fun word, because it's, for us in English, eyeballs. Except in that day and age, it was eyeballs. It was brain, this forward thinking part that processes and understands. And it was heart, that part that knows in the intimacy of ourself. And to say I have seen is to say that I have comprehended and made mine own in my very being that one is the one. So we have this text that says to us, Jesus, Lamb of God, the one who came and gave himself so that the sin of the world might be taken away. Jesus, who came and who humbled himself to be baptized by John, not so that John would have position, but so that God might be able to name and claim him beloved. Jesus, who on the cross finally exposed the love that flowed through from the Lamb and the baptism to the blood that was shed. A love that knew no bounds. And so, people of God, if we're supposed to read this first for Jesus and John the Baptist, second for the early Christian community who was trying to understand that relationship, and third for us, what do? We come and we see. That was the invitation of Jesus in the midst of John's testimony. And what we have to come and see is a world that looks like Jesus' desire for us. It's a world that says, They already know that there are miracles that happen all the time. We know that it is not yet what we intend as God's kingdom that is broken and sinful, and there is evil. And we know that God is in our midst, doing the little pieces to turn the world right side up. And so we can say, Jake Lang and his folks, that's evil. And the person who protects them says to the folks who promote violence and who want to do harm to anyone, no, no, no. There is a better way, and I'm going to stand here right in the middle between the two and point to Jesus, even if it means harm to me. As we read this scripture, it means hearing the story of a woman who takes a phone call from a young black man and who invites him to Thanksgiving, and not being shocked by it, but saying, well, yes, of course. Yes, of course, because this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And when they meet year after year, 6 and 7 and now 8, declaring, the kingdom of God has drawn near. To read this scripture and to understand how John testifies to Jesus, and for us to look at God's world, is to say no to the evils of violence and racism, and to the evils of retaliation and division, and to instead put ourselves again into harm's way. To say, this is where the crucified one lies, here in this place. To read this scripture and to understand how John points to Jesus and how each one of us is invited to come and see is to say that when our brothers and our sisters who pray differently than us feel as though they are not safe, we will link hands, joining one with another, and in doing so, point to Jesus. Reading this gospel and understanding how John testifies to the light and how Jesus invites us to come and see means that when we have privilege of place, power and authority, influence in the world, we must first acknowledge it's broken, ourselves as part of that. And then we must do what we can to speak truth and justice, wholeness and hope. Our world is a world in need of a lamb who will give themselves in the way that Jesus gave. Our world is a world in need of those who will testify to the truth of Jesus for the sake of others. Our world needs each and every one of us who is anointed in the waters of holy baptism to stand in the middle and say, this is the Jesus way. A way of reconciliation, a way of justice, a way of mercy, a way of hope. Come and see. Amen.